I am a pastor over in Swedesboro, so I think if I have my directions correctly, it's that way. Is that right? That way? Okay, it's in this direction, and we're a portable church, and we've met at Kingsway High School for probably the last 12 or 13 years. That's where we've been, and then when COVID hit, we, like everybody else, went online, and we were never allowed back into the school. So we still haven't been in the school. We haven't been allowed. I think September 12th is our first date. Hopefully we're allowed back in. And so right now we do meet at literally a wings joint. It's a barbecue place. They're closed on Sundays and they give us their space to use, which is great. But it was funny, as I was setting up this morning and coming here, I threw the news on the radio real quick, and for those of you who are younger, if you don't know what a radio is, it's what plays the news on stations, not through your phone. It's really cool. You don't get to pick. It's like a random thing all the time. And so I was listening to the news, and again, it was just one of those moments where I sat and kind of thought, I'm hearing about a variant. I'm hearing about another, you know, whatever that's coming, it's resurfacing, thinking about what CDC changes are coming down the line again, and, you know, what's the difference between recommended, required, and I just so many little details that it kind of felt somewhat, disarming this morning. Does that word make sense there? Just felt a little frustrating, and I know for our church, we were kind of waiting for like, well, what's normal mean? Like, when are we going to get back to being in the school? And now that this is all happening, what's it going to mean for the school? What's it going to mean for us as churches? Like, so do we need to start asking for things again and mandating things again? And what is this? We're all waiting on what's next. And can I just get an amen on this? Is exhausting. Oh, amen simply means I agree. This is exhausting. I found myself, as this virus has hit, and I know that in the last 18 months, it's not been easy. I am sure for your church community, just like ours, that there have been many people affected, that there have been many people sick, that there have been many people who have, in your community, even passed away. And I think that we can all use a little bit of hope. I mean, I've been fielding calls this week with people with the virus. I mean, even in my own, not immediate family, but extended family of people who are getting it now again. And, you know, I'm like, when does this end? As I look at our country, I'm like, this is kind of crazy. Every time my phone rings, I think, what now? What now? With over 600,000 deaths in our country, I mean, just over 26,500 in New Jersey alone. I've personally had to do more funerals this year than I have in all of my time being a pastor. And so it's overwhelming. And in those moments, and I know that you understand this. I don't even need to say this. I know you understand this as a church more now than probably ever. But when I'm getting overwhelmed, it's very easy just to kind of hang my head low, stare at the ground, and just kind of be in a place going, God, what am I supposed to do? What is the next step you want me to take? And I feel very disorientated as to what's around me. Have you felt this? Do you feel this? I look down. And I look down so that I could figure out where my grounding is. And when my head is held low, I believe that the Holy Spirit has been continuing to remind me. I see you looking there. Jimmy, look up. Jimmy, look up. And I believe that's the word that I want to leave with you today, is Trinity. Look up. Look up. I understand things are disorientating around you. I understand there's this nervousness and anxiety and this sense of unease with a lot of things. Look up. Today is a day where I believe that we need to lean deeper into prayer and understanding, to look up. And when I don't know what to pray this year, I will tell you what I have done is I have clung to the Psalms. Sometimes my words just feel feeble, and when I pray, I'm like, I don't even know why I'm praying this right now. I just don't know how to connect to you, God. I feel lost in this. And I go back to the great poetry written by so many people way more creative than I was and than I am, and thinking their words, Lord, would you help me to make their words my words today? And so what I'd like to do is simply look through a couple Psalms together with you for some different ways that we might be able to look up. So if you have your Bibles with you, I would love for you to turn to Psalm 120, where Pastor Josh read for us today what's, the passages that we're going to be going through. And if you don't have a Bible, there are stacks in the back. We're going to have some verses on the screen, but if you don't have a Bible and you raise your hand, I'm sure there's servants here who would love to grab you one of those Bibles in the back. It'll be on page 440, so someone can grab Bibles right back there. It's page 440 in those Bibles. That's where we're going to be this morning, and I would encourage you. I know that in most churches we keep verses on the screen. I know this is where I get, again, pretty old school. There's something so good about paper because no texts come through on here. No notifications are going to take you other than the Holy Spirit going, hey, pay attention. You're like, oh, I needed that one. That's the alarm we look at. So I asked Pastor Josh if he wanted to read from my Bible, and then I realized, like, that's not good because it's chewed up and it's eaten up. And I like that because there's so much goodness in there. So if you don't know where the Psalms are, use your table of contents. It's really easy to find, almost dead in the middle. And so here's what's cool. Psalms 120 is where we're going to be. Psalms 120, 121, and 122. If you look at Psalm 120 to about Psalm 134, these are a collection of 15 psalms called the Psalms of Ascent. These are the Psalms of Ascent, and sometimes people often call them the Pilgrim Psalms, the Pilgrim Psalms. Whenever I hear that, I always have this like image of the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria in my head, and I'm like, oh, like the 1600s white people from Europe coming over, right? Like that's what we should be thinking about. That's not a pilgrim, okay? That's not a pilgrim, because here's the thing. Those pilgrims came and stayed. Pilgrims never stay. Pilgrims are always going. And so this pilgrim that they're talking about is the Jewish people who would use these psalms as their hymnal, their songbook. About three times a year, they would be called back to Jerusalem, and when they came back for these festivals, as they approached the city, they would continue to read these psalms over and over, and their families would read them, the kids would read them, and this was their playlist. This is their Spotify playlist, okay? You put it on repeat, and this is your track that you listen to. And so what we need to see is that pilgrims, they are people who spend their lives going someplace. In our lives, regardless of where you are today in your faith, we are spiritual pilgrims, every single one of us. And we are on a pilgrimage towards God. And just like Pastor Josh had said in that moment of worship, is that we go towards Jesus, or we go towards God through Jesus. And Jesus tells us that in John 14:6, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me, that our pilgrimage, it begins with Jesus, and it ends with Jesus. And so these psalms kind of help us in our spiritual journeys. These aren't things that we can look and say, well, that was good for them when they were on their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. This is good for us today because we're feeling lost and it's time for us to refocus. This is one of the reasons I want to explore these things together, is kind of, I think we forget who we are. And this is our reminder. This is who you are. This is where you're going. Because it's reassuring to realize we don't have to anxiously study and worry about the world and what they tell us all the time. We just need to keep our eyes focused on God, in his word. And so with this in mind, let's take a quick look at these psalms, and we're going to just pick some different pieces apart. I wish that I could take you through these psalms and like go through it all, but we just don't have the space for that. So You know, Josh, thanks for reading those today. And we're going to be in Psalm 120. That's our starting point. And again, if you have one of those Bibles, page 440 is where you're at. Let's look at the first two verses, because the first two verses set the entire stage for this entire playlist. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So yours might read a little different. That's okay. It says this: I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him, and he answered my prayer. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. Now, as pilgrims, can I make a pretty bold statement? All of our journeys start from a place of trouble. All of pilgrims' journeys start in a place of trouble. Most people, and I like the way the author Pete Scazzaro says it. He says, most people will not change anything in their life until the pain of where they are becomes so great they have to. All right? Most of the time, we think we want to change something, but we're not willing to do that until it hurts so bad that we have no other choice. Think of someone who, and I'm walking with someone right now in our church who had a heart attack, and I was like, you okay? And he's like, everything needs to change now. I'm like, everything needed to change, like, you know, 15 years ago when you were drinking grease, you know, eating sticks of, like, things needed to change then. What happened? The pain of where you are became so great, you had to make a choice. And unfortunately, I hate that we are people who are stubborn. I am a person who is stubborn. I'm going to assume the best of you. You're not stubborn people at all, right? I didn't hear any amen, so I'm going to assume that you're with me, right? But this psalmist finds himself in this place. Verse 1, he's crying out for help. And what is he crying out from help from? And it's from the lies and the deceit of people around him. Now, people aren't as honest as he thought. And he's kind of having issues with this and having to take it to God, isn't he? The distress that starts in this psalm actually ends the psalm too, that there is distress. The people that I thought I could trust, I can't. And I know it might sound harsh, but I need to say it, that the world is not nearly as pleasant a place as we pretend it is. If we look back over our lives, regardless of your age, and we look back at the lives of those who have gone before us, our parents, our grandparents, aunts, uncles, even into history, most of our lives are filled with confusion. They're filled with pain. They're filled with suffering. It's filled with war and loss. And these things like security, control, safety, they're words that we use to explain what we want in our lives and we expect to find in the world around us. God's pretty clear. We're not guaranteed security, control, or safety from the world. Those could only be found in Him. And we see it plainly in the biography of Jesus, written by one of his best friends, the Apostle John. And in John 16, Jesus the Messiah, he gets very, very specific and detailed with his disciples about the pain that they're about to experience because of his death. And I love in verse 32 of John 16 where he says, but the time is coming, and indeed it's here now, when you will be scattered, each of you going his own way, leaving me alone. Doesn't this sound very similar to our psalm? Being surrounded by trouble, but feeling alone. And Jesus continues, he says, yet I am not alone. Why? Because the Father is with me. And I've told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have, what is that? What is the two words here? Okay, here on earth, you will have many. Here on earth, you're going to have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Guess what? We live in a world where trials and sorrows are the norm. This is not the anomaly. This is not the, I can't believe that happened again. It's, oh, this happened again. Why are we so surprised when things go wrong? We're not nearly as put together as we think we are. And so here, Jesus says, you're going to have issues, trials, troubles, sorrows. He does not paint a picture of rainbows and ponies with fairies for the disciples. He says, it's going to get hard, guys. It's going to get hard. And if we are being honest, all of us need to understand this, because I think that we think we're more in control of our lives than we really are. Generally, we do have this sense of optimism that things are going to keep getting better. And then for some reason, we whine. Like little spoiled kids when it doesn't. Did you ever read through the Old Testament and wonder, why is it that the Israelites can see all these miracles and yet the very next morning wake up and whine? How ridiculous are they? Boy, we did the same thing, don't we? Same with us. Same with us, right? What's your name? Phil, you nailed it. Same with us. We are no different. We do the same exact thing. And so, what Psalm 120 does is it does this great job of reminding us we're surrounded by people who will lie to get what they want. And just like Jesus was surrounded by people who lied to get what they wanted, this is not new. But unfortunately, so many of us fall into the trap of believing the people around us. And we don't realize that there's an issue with it until we have a disagreement. Do you ever think you were tight with someone until you disagreed on something? And you're like, wow, when did they turn into such a jerk? You can amen that one. I know it. Right? Well, the psalmist is not absent to this. Check out verses 6 and 7. It jumps down. He says, I'm tired. I am tired of living among people who hate peace. I search for peace. But when I speak of peace, they want war. The psalmist wants to begin this journey. He wants all of us to begin a journey with peace on our mind. And he says, that's where I'm going, is for peace. But anytime he's running into somebody, what are they for? They're for war. And he says, something has to change with these people, because this isn't what I signed up for. But here's what's wild, is he's got to recognize who he's surrounded by. He's got to stop and take inventory of who he's around. And he has to confess to God that this is not where I expected to be right now. Because that's the beginning of every spiritual pilgrim's journey. And I feel like many of us today, we are surrounded by people that we thought we knew, thought we could trust. And as this world has turned upside down in the last 18 months, I think unfortunately or fortunately, we have seen people's true motives in a lot of ways. That their true colors, if you will, are starting to shine through. And it's just not as pretty as we thought it was going to be, is it? I've seen things in me that I'm so embarrassed of and have had to take to the throne of God saying, I didn't know that sin existed as deep as it did. And it wouldn't have happened if I didn't have this 18 months. And so in the beginning of our journeys of Psalm 120, what I love here is this is a psalm, and if you write in your Bibles, go ahead and write these two words up top. This is a psalm of disorientation and a psalm of repentance. If you use your phone or an iPad, this is a great spot to just put a little note in there. A psalm of disorientation and a psalm of repentance. And that's where Psalm 121 comes in. And I'm going to be straight with you. This is one of my favorite psalms. So if I start to get excited, you're just going to have to bear with me, okay? I get pumped about this. After we're disorientated from life as a journey, as a pilgrim, where does it take us? To a place of looking for help. Look at verse 1. It says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? Now, if you've ever been on a journey in the Middle East, this will probably make a little more sense to you, because the mountains in this case would have been seen as a place of security. If you walk through Israel, and you would have to cross into Jordan if you wanted to avoid Samaria, which they would always do. And so if you go into this region of the world, what you see is there's mountains everywhere. There's mountains everywhere. And scattered throughout the mountains, what we have is a pilgrim looking, saying, if I go to the mountains, is my help there? Well, actually, it's the safest place for you to camp at night. So you would go find caves. You would go find a place to go. Why? Because if you stay out in the open, robbers can get you. You're going to get jumped, and it's no good, right? That's not where you want to be. So you go to the mountains to find your safety. But you also go to the mountains to pray, because all of the faiths and the religions and the culture there, as it was more polytheistic, that they had many gods that they could worship, they never put their altars in the middle of fields. Do you know where they put them? Take a guess. in the mountains. So there were altars for anything that you could imagine. If you were on your journey and it was super hot out and you needed to go pray to the God of the sun, there was an altar for that. If you were starting to get thirsty, you could go to an altar for a god of water. If you were sick and tired of your kids asking if they're there yet, you could leave them in a cave and keep going. No, it's not that. It's different. Right? You could go to these altars wherever they were in the mountains to get your help. And I know that we're like, how silly. You're going to go to the mountains to pray like this? Like, who would do that? And yet what's funny is, to be real, we do. Because in our disorientation of wherever we are, where do we look for help? We try to find every news article that we can to reinforce a belief that we want to be reinforced. We don't want to be disorientated, so we find people who agree with us to tell us what we want to hear so we can find our firm foundation on what? On their data. Not their data. They're wrong. They're right. They're both wrong. Just saying it. I watch us, like, we look at it like a hawk and we watch our stock ticker. And we're waiting to see if it goes up or it goes down. Why? Because where do I look for help? In the security of, well, I have enough? Am I going to be provided for? Have I invested correctly on something we can't even control? And yet we look for control. Why would they pray to a sun god? Why do we pray to a ticker? Why do we pray to news outlets? So many of us are crying out for help in our own ways, and we're looking around for answers, and yet we find ourselves unfulfilled and in need still. And we will not find our strength for this journey in any of those things. It's only when we look at our spiritual pilgrimage where it gains strength is verses 1 and 2. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No. Verse 2 tells us very simply that my help comes from the Lord, who does what? He made heaven and earth. Our help, and this Hebrew word can also be translated my strength, has to come from God, who made the heavens and who made the earth. The spiritual pilgrim needs to stop looking for man-made solutions for something that only God can provide. Let me say that again, because that's a good amen moment, okay? The spiritual pilgrim needs to stop looking for man-made solutions to something that only God can provide. There you go. You see that we are looking all over. And when you look at the rest of this psalm, it's a constant reminder of, why can God provide? Because he's the only one worthy of our trust. And remember, Psalm 20, the psalmist couldn't trust anyone. Psalm 121, he's saying, they're not trustworthy, but you are trustworthy, God. You see us all the time, each one of our steps. You don't sleep and you don't slumber. You know, when they went up to the mountains to pray to these altars, it was always assumed their God was asleep, so they had to rouse them and wake them up. It was just part of the routine. Before you could worship them, they need to be awake. And the psalmist says, you're never, ever asleep. You're always awake. I love this. And what I find interesting is that people need to know that our God always sees them, never sleeps, and always has eyes on what they are doing. And this should not scare us. This should bring us comfort. He's with us when we start. He's with us in our journey, and he's with us when we arrive. Just like in verse 8, it tells us, the Lord keeps watch over you as you come, as you go, both now and forever. And this is huge, that God keeps watch over us. Amen. It doesn't mean that we won't have bad days. Jesus already tells us that's what life is filled with. But it does mean that God is aware and God cares. It means that God sees you and God sees me. And this should be the reason we look up. We look up, not to the mountains because our help doesn't come from there, but we look up to God where we can find this hope. So Psalm 120, disorientation. Psalm 121, a reorientation. A reorientation. And Psalm 123 will hit quickly. Or 122. This is a psalm of worship and celebration. And as I was looking at this again this week, it almost brought me to tears when I look at verse 1 that just, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. church hasn't been home in like 18 months. I see when you guys came in today, the joy it was for Betty. Where's Betty? Were you were opening the door today. Betty, you opened the door, and it was like you knew your family was coming. And then there's people in the office, and there are people up here on stage, and you knew what to expect because you could be here in your home. And I'm thinking, I don't have a home. When do I get to go home? And to be able to worship you with you this morning was home. And I just wonder, what would it look like if we all longed as pilgrims to know that wherever we are going is home? That when we are with other disciples of Jesus and followers of Jesus, the Messiah, that when we're together, we celebrate Jesus in person together, that is home. I know the pilgrims who sang this and who prayed this, they were coming from all over the geographic region, that they came from everywhere. And you know that moment when you get together with a bunch of people you haven't seen and you're like, oh, I wonder if they'll be there. You're excited for that. I think that that's what this is, and it's this longing to be back. And I'm like, I get this more now than ever. But whenever you start in Psalm 120 and disorientation, you move to Psalm 121 with reorientation, it will always land you with Psalm 122 of worship and celebration. It will always end here. When we look up, we begin to see that we are surrounded with the community of saints, past and present, worshiping Jesus, that he is never changing, always faithful, and that this word we can rely on. If you're not in a soap group, dude, get in one. Our church has been soaping for 2 years. We've read 2/3 of the Bible together. And when Pastor Jim and I were talking about soap stuff years ago, he's like, I might steal that. I'm like, don't steal it. Take everything we have. Like, that's how this works. And he did. And I'm like, this is great. We just finished up. I was telling Pastor Josh, we just finished Leviticus. We'll finish it today. Aren't you glad you come here, not to Crossbridge? Don't worry, you'll get to Leviticus soon. If it makes you feel better, we start Job tomorrow. So, listen, it's really easy to keep our eyes locked in on the ground when we're disorientated and say, you know what, in this season for Trinity, I don't even know what to do. I give up. I'm just going to just whatever. God's not asking you to surrender to whatever. He's asking you to look up and give up control, to look up and give up the right to have it your way, to give up the right to say everything should be pleasant in my life and work out the way that I want because I'm a disciple of Jesus. Great, then listen to him. In this world, you'll have many trials and sorrows. Take heart. Be encouraged. Look up. Do you know why? Because he has overcome the world. This is where our hope is. This is where our trust is. And so, for this week, I just kind of want to encourage you, if you will, with me. Would you join me in prayer at whatever time is most convenient for you? But for me, noon is a great time for me to kind of pause in the day. I get through a ton of work in the morning, and by then I'm exhausted, my ADD kicks in, and I'm like, oh, it's time to reset, right? This will be great. And at noon, I begin to stop and read the Psalms to reorient myself. Would you join me this week? Would you join me and set an alarm on your phone right now? You have it in your hands. You got it around you. Set an alarm for whatever time works best for you. Grab your family if you have a family around you and just read Psalm 120, 121, and 122. Read them out loud, not like I'm just going to pray quietly. If you're married, read it with your spouse. If you're a young adult or you're a teenager, find someone, FaceTime with them. Read it together. Find time to read this and use this as a place of recognizing your disorientation, reorienting, and then using it as a moment to celebrate and worship together. And I promise you that in a week where it's going to be easy to look down, you will be reminded every day to look up. Let's make these Psalms of Ascent our Psalms of Ascent. Amen.